الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف There are many blessings, virtues and excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat and Salam upon the best of creation, our intercessor, our noble master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everybody wants to attain closeness to Rasulullah alayhi salam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Without a doubt, every believer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has already mentioned in the hadith how we can attain that rank. How we can attain qurbah, closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, أَوْلَ النَّاسِ بِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ From amongst all of creation, the most closest to me on the Day of Judgment, أَكْثَرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً will be those people who recited the most salawat salutations upon me. So we've been told how to achieve that. And now it's up to us to implement the teachings of this Hadith Sharif in our life so that in the hereafter we are amongst those people who are close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in his shade of mercy. May Allah Jalla wa Ala enable all of us to recite Durood Sharif, Salawat and Salam, peace and salutations in abundance. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I begin, let us make some good intentions, as the Prophet ﷺ has said, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ A believer's intention is better than his action. Remember, the more good intentions we make, the more reward we will gain. And without a good intention, no reward is given. So first and foremost, let's make the intention that we are here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one purpose only, and that is to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. InshaAllah azza wa jal. We're going to listen a bayan consisting of sacred knowledge. So let's make the intention that whatever we hear, we will try our utmost to not only remember it, but we will try to also act upon it as well. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. And whatever we learn, we should make the intention that we will also impart this knowledge, pass it on to others as well. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Jalla wa Ala give us this tawfiq ability to make good intentions in abundance. Ameen. Baqi' bin Makhlad Rahimahullahu ta'ala. A student who is traveling from Spain all the way to Africa. And in the process, he crosses the oceans, the deserts of Africa, until he reaches Baghdad Sharif, modern day Iraq. And why has he traveled this far? He has traveled this far to learn hadith from the greatest authority of hadith in his time, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiyallahu ta'ala. Upon reaching Baghdad, he is grief-stricken, as the locals told him that Sayyiduna Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiyallahu ta'ala is under house arrest. The Mu'tazili sect, the leaders at the time, they had a dispute, a difference of opinion with the great Imam, and as a result, they put him under house arrest. He's not allowed to teach openly. And Baqi bin Makhlad, his only purpose was to go and learn knowledge from this great Imam. He's upset. He's sad. Nevertheless, he's determined. He's not somebody with weak willpower. He makes his way to the central masjid in Baghdad Sharif. And there he sees somebody teaching the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Afterwards he asks him, what is your opinion about Ahmad bin Hanbal? And the Shaykh who was teaching hadith replies, I believe there is no one greater than this man, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, in the knowledge of hadith living today. Meaning he's a great imam. So Baqi bin Makhlad, who was already upset, now his desire has increased even further. He wants to study with this imam no matter what. So he says, can you tell me where he is under house arrest? Where he lives? Where does he reside? He's told the address, but alongside that he's also told there's no point going there, because there's guards there. They won't let you even study with the imam. It's not possible. But again, he was determined. He wanted to fulfill this aim, this goal. So he makes his way to the neighborhood of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala an, and there he sees, as he was told, many, many guards keeping watch. Yet he still makes his way to the door of the great imam. He knocks on the door, awaiting this imam, just to see one glance, you know, just to glance once upon the blessed face of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala an. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu an himself doesn't open the door. There's a worker inside who opens the door. So he asks the worker, where is the great imam, Ahmad bin Hanbal? He says, I'll go and call him, just wait a moment. And a few minutes later, the great imam, Imam al-Muhaddiseen, Sayyiduna Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiyallahu ta'ala, and comes to the door. They greet each other. Baqi bin Makhlad, rahimahullah, is over the moon. His desire has been fulfilled somewhat. He has seen the blessed face of the great imam. The great imam asks him, where have you come from? He says, I have come from a very far distance. Have you come from another part of Africa? He replies, no. I have come all the way from Andalusia, Spain. And the only reason I've come is to study hadith from you. And the imam appreciates this, but he also tells him, do you know I'm under house arrest? Do you know it will not be possible for me to teach you? And there, look at the desire of Baqi bin Makhlad rahimahullah ta'ala. If it was anybody else, he would have given up. It's not possible. He said, oh Imam, what if we do something which enables me to come and learn hadith from you? What is that? He states, I'll come dressed as a beggar. I will wear rough clothes. I'll come dressed as a beggar. And just like the beggars shout out their slogan, grant me something, may Allah reward you. Grant me something, may Allah reward you. I'll do this. When I come to your door and I ask you for something, you just narrate one hadith to me. Just narrate one hadith to me and that will be sufficient. Then the following day I'll come again. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, noticing that this student is not an ordinary student, is someone thirsty for knowledge. So he agrees and he says, okay, let's see if this works. So the following day, Baqi bin Makhlad rahimahullah comes to the house of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, shouting the slogan, may Allah reward you, may Allah reward you, grant me something, grant me something. As the beggars do, he's dressed in rough clothes. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala opens the door, stands to one side, and narrates a single hadith to Baqi bin Makhlad. Baqi bin Makhlad, who had a page hidden in his sleeve, takes that page out, writes the hadith, and moves on. He says, oh Imam, I'll come tomorrow. The next day it happens again. And this continues until Baqi bin Makhlad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has amassed 300 ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there comes a time where Baqi bin Makhlad's dream is fulfilled, the house arrest is lifted, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi is once again allowed to teach hadith in the central masjid of Baghdad Sharif. Students flock from all over the world. There's thousands and thousands of students at the feet of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. But who does Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi allow to sit right next to him? None other than Baqi bin Makhlad rahmatullahi alayhi. And he continues to mention throughout his durus that this is that student who left Spain, crossed the ocean, traveled the deserts of Africa, only to come to me in order to learn hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praising this student and his sincerity in front of the thousands before him. And one day, Baqi bin Makhlad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he is not present, he's missing, He's ill. The Imam is told that your student Baqi is ill today. He's not able to attend. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi gets up from his seat and says, take me to his house. I want to see my student Baqi bin Makhluq. And the students flock with the great Imam, papers in hand, ready to see what the Imam utters at his house so that they can document it and write it down. When Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi sees Baqi bin Makhluq ill, he mentions a few wise words. He says, O Baqi, may Allah cure you. Remember, in the days of sickness, one feels that he will never recover. But when he is healthy, he feels that he will never fall ill. And these words were written by the students who were present at that time. And Baqi bin Makhlad rahmatullahi ta'ala, as a result of his sacrifices, became one of the greatest muhaddithin of his time. You want to know how big a great muhaddith he became? Baqi bin Makhlad rahmatullahi alayhi is mentioned in the Sihah Sitta, the six most famous books of hadith as well. Narrated a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look where it all began. Him traveling from Spain, Andalusia, all the way to Africa, all the way to Kufa, just to gain the knowledge of hadith from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his endless mercy upon Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Baqi bin Makhlad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and for their sake grant us all forgiveness.
Amen.
Dear brothers in Islam, where we learn about the sacrifices of our pious predecessors in this narration, what we also learn is their ahmiyat, their importance that they attached to seeking knowledge. For if it wasn't for knowledge, Baqi bin Makhlad would not have put his life on the line. If it wasn't for seeking knowledge, Baqi bin Makhlad would not have traveled thousands and thousands of miles. But yet he did so. Why? He knew that this is the actual treasure that one has to attain whilst he's living in this world. Everything else will become perished. But knowledge will remain as a treasure in the hereafter as well. So dear brothers in Islam, inshallah, we'll be speaking about the importance of knowledge and what efforts we should make in order to gain this knowledge. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that every single one of us, whether you're male, female, it is farz upon every believer to learn some amount of knowledge. And this knowledge we refer to as farz ulum, obligatory knowledge. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. That seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim. So somebody can't say today that it's up to the ulama. It's for them to read books and to learn masail. It's okay for me. I can just sit at home. I can invest my time in all other sorts of activities. I don't have to seek knowledge. No. There is some amount of knowledge that every single person has to learn. What is that knowledge? Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmat Rahman explains, just like the ulama before him, what is farz upon every believer, first and foremost, is to know his aqidah, is to know his belief. He must know what beliefs to adopt and what beliefs not to adopt. Why, if he has the wrong aqidah, he could be the most abid, the most, you know, pious, bazahid worshipper in front of the people, somebody who stays in the masjid. But if he has a wrong aqidah about Allah, about the messengers, alayhi musallam, about the angels, about paradise, about hellfire, about taqdeer, about any of the aqaid that we should know, then all of that's gone to waste. Because at times a person can adopt a belief that takes him out of the fold of Islam as well. So first and foremost, knowledge of aqeedah is necessary upon every single Muslim to learn. Then, what is the greatest worship? The greatest worship is salah. A person has to know enough rulings of salah which enable him to perform salah correctly and without having to repeat salah, without having to, you know, make up for any salah that he has invalidated. So he has to know about salah. Then, if he has enough wealth, he has to travel to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform hajj. How many people travel to hajj every year? Millions. But sadly, many, many people go there, and it's been seen, it's been observed, they're just looking at others. They don't know how to perform hajj. They spend all this money, yet they have not learned how to perform that ibadat properly. How to perform hajj according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ. And then, zakah. If a person has enough wealth, he has to give zakat. He has to know how to calculate it, when it becomes farz upon him. Again, this knowledge is necessary upon every believer. Why? Because if he reaches a stage where he has enough money, he has to give zakat properly. He can't give less and think that, say, I've given my charity. No. And likewise, a person needs to know enough rulings related to fasting which save him from breaking his fast, invalidating his fast, leading to kafara, leading to other penalties and expiations. So this type of knowledge is farz upon every believer. Yes, there are other types of knowledge which are called farz kifaya. If a few people in the community, they fulfill this, this is a communal obligation. For example, becoming an alim, becoming a mufti. If a few people in the community fulfill this, then the rest are not responsible. They are not taken to task, they are not sinful. But the first type I mentioned, every single person has to know. And then we have something called akhlaqiyat. There's a chapter in the books called akhlaqiyat. One needs to know about batini amraz. He has to know what things affect the heart. Sometimes we think that the heart is only affected by eating fried foods. The physical, you know, symptoms of having a bad heart, leading to heart attack, cholesterol, etc. But there is a spiritual heart inside the body, and we must know how to keep that heart pure and clean. Keep it away from all sorts of sinful diseases like backbiting, like jealousy, like thinking bad of others. These kind of sins, as long as we are not aware of them, we do not learn about them, how are we going to clean our hearts? So this all falls under knowledge that every Muslim has to learn. And alhamdulillah, in this environment of Dawat Islami, time and time again, Amir Dawat Islami, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he always tells us, read this book, read Ihya al-Ulum, read Bahari Shadid, read Fatawa Razi Ashir, sit with the ulama, learn about knowledge. Yet how many of us actually take this seriously? So dear brothers, we must give preference to this knowledge that is farz upon us. Today we give preference to worldly knowledge, contemporary knowledge. Learning worldly knowledge is not bad in and of itself. But if it's preventing you from learning knowledge which is farz upon you, then it is an obstruction. Then it's an obstacle for you. Then it's something that's not praiseworthy. But yes, if you're fulfilling your farz, then you can learn other sciences which will help you in the world and the hereafter as well. So we must give priority to sacred knowledge. And why do you think that many people don't give priority? Maybe, perhaps it's because they don't know the value of this knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah mentions whose ranks He will raise. He does not mention businessmen. He does not mention accountants. He does not mention lawyers. He does not mention all those people that we think are very high in society, they're highly valued, etc. Allah says, I will raise those who believe from you and those who have been granted knowledge. Those who have sought knowledge, those who have sacrificed, Allah will raise their ranks. And then the ahadith. When it comes to the hadith collection, subhanAllah, there are so many ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And truth be told, we could be here all night and not even justify or do justice rather to the fazail virtues of sacred knowledge. Just a few, inshallah, I will mention. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that somebody who seeks knowledge, a talibul ilm, somebody who actually makes sincere efforts to seek knowledge, if death were to come to him in this state, إِذَا جَاءَ الْمَوْتُ طَالِبَ الْعِلْمِ, if death were to come to a talibul ilm, and he was seeking knowledge of the deen, مَاتَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this person will have died as a martyr in Islam. And why? Because he was seeking sacred knowledge. No other knowledge can you say that about. No other knowledge can you say that about. But sacred knowledge, or knowledge of the Quran, the Hadith, when we learn that, and if we were to pass away in this state, we'll be written as martyrs in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, today in the world, somebody is a celebrity, somebody is highly known. What do? They lay out the red carpet for him. They roll out the red carpet. They say, this person is worthy of the red carpet. He's a celebrity, he's famous, he's deserving of this. But do you know that those who seek knowledge, what lies in store for them? Never mind a red carpet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pious angels, his ma'asum, sinless angels lower their wings for the students of knowledge. It's mentioned in a hadith, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ, that the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they spread their wings for the student of knowledge. Why? رِضَمْ بِمَا يَسْنَعُ, because they are happy with what he is doing. Can anybody else say that the angels are happy with me, apart from a student of knowledge? A student of knowledge is very highly valued in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, dear brothers in Islam, if you ask a believer in this world, shall I tell you a method whereby entering paradise will become very easy for you? He won't hesitate. He said, of course, tell me. Tell me now, please. I want to go to paradise. I want that path to be easy for me. I don't want it to be difficult. Listen carefully. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever seeks knowledge, whoever travels in a path seeking knowledge, سَحَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his striving, the student striving in the way of Allah, seeking knowledge, Allah will make his path to paradise easy for him. Again, who can say this besides the student of knowledge, that my path to paradise has been made easy? The student of knowledge can say this. And then, our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are such ummatis that we want to emulate and follow Rasulullah alayhi wasallam in everything he did. Isn't that right? We want to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But do you know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved, absolutely loved circles of knowledge? When he saw a circle of knowledge, as I'll mention in the hadith sharif now, what comments he made, subhanallah, these are coolness to the eyes. Especially those who are involved in knowledge, and who are involved in learning and teaching knowledge as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and it's mentioned in the hadith sharif, that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he passed by two gatherings. He passed by two gatherings. Imagine there's a gathering on one side of this room and a gathering on another side of the room. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, كِلَاهُمَا عَلَى خَيْرٍ, both of them are upon goodness. Both of them are upon goodness. وَأَحَدُهُمَا أَفْضَلُ مِنْ صَاحِبِهِ, however, one is better than the other. Now listen carefully. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as for this one, as for one of them, فَيَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ, they are praying to Allah, they are supplicating to Allah, وَيَرْغَبُونَ إِلَيْهِ, their hearts are inclined towards their Creator, فَإِنْ شَاءَ أَعْطَاهُمْ, if he wants, he will grant them. He'll grant them what they want. وَإِنْ شَاءَ مَنَعَهُمْ, and if he wants, he will prevent them, he will deprive them. This is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam points towards the other circle and says, وَأَمَّا هَؤُلَاء, as for this circle, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْفِقْهَ وَالْعِلْمِ, they are learning sacred knowledge of the deen. وَيُعَلِّمُونَ الْجَاهِلَ, and they are teaching those who are unaware. فَهُمْ أَفْضَل, from the two circles, this circle is even greater. This is more superior. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't stop there. He said, وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا, the only reason I was sent was to teach people. I was sent as a teacher. ثُمَّ جَلَسَ فِيهِمْ, and then he sat with the circle who was studying ilm-e-deen. So dear brothers in Islam, look at how highly our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam valued the sacred knowledge and the circles of knowledge. And remember today, people are very quick to say, it's not my responsibility to teach others. You know, I'm not a scholar. I'm not somebody who's very knowledgeable. But remember, as part of that hadith, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim, those people who are beneath us, those people who are in our care, it is obligatory upon us to teach them as well. Today, people neglect their children. People don't bring their children towards sacred knowledge. People don't invest their children to become scholars of the deen. Instead, they'll send them across the globe. Why? To earn money, to earn wealth. But here, the ulama state that on the day of judgment, a person will be asked about what he taught his children. Listen carefully. It's mentioned in a narration that Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an said to someone, Addib ibnaka, discipline your child. Teach your child manners. Teach him etiquettes. Why? فَإِنَّكَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ وَلَدِكَ, you will definitely be asked about your child. مَاذَا أَدَّبْتَهُ, you'll be asked, what did you teach him? What did you teach him about the etiquettes and manners of Islam? وَمَاذَا عَلَّمْتَهُ? What path did you lead him on? Did you take him to scholars so that they may teach him? What did you teach your son? So every one of us today, we pray to have children. We want children. We want to have them there when we are old and we are feeble. But do we even invest in the akhirah? Do we prepare ourselves for us answering these questions we'll be asked? How did you teach your children? How did you teach your offspring? Did you invest time? Or was it the case that you spent hours and hours outside the home? You know, persuading your own self that I'm doing this for my children. And then years passed by, before you knew it, your children were not listening. Children were disobedient. Children were on the wrong path. Children didn't care what the parents say. And then a person is full of regret. And regret is the only thing a person will have if he does not learn knowledge himself and teach others as well. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the narration, that the most regretful person, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ حَسْرَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the most regretful person on the Day of Judgment, رَجُلٌ أَمْكَنَهُ طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فِي الدُّنْيَا, he, it was possible for him to learn knowledge in the world, فَلَمْ يَطْلُبْهُ, but he did not learn it. He did not learn it. How is he supposed to teach others? And then the hadith continues. Another person who will be from the most regretful on the Day of Judgment, وَرَجُلٌ عَلَّمَ عِلْمًا, he sought knowledge, فَانْتَفَعَ بِهِ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْهُ دُونَهُ, others benefited from his knowledge, but he himself did not benefit from his own knowledge. He will be the most regretful as well on the Day of Judgment. So dear brothers in Islam, we must ensure that in this short life, we are giving time towards sacred knowledge. We have to put things to the side sometimes. Yes, we live in the world, we have to earn, we have to take care of our family. But remember, this is farz upon us as well. We can't disregard this and say we are doing X, Y, and Z. No, this is necessary as well. And again, why did our pious predecessors value this knowledge so much? Because they truly knew the value of it. They truly knew how much it was worth in the akhirah. They truly knew how much their Lord loved this knowledge. Just a few aqwal, inshaAllah, azza wa jal. Our predecessors, Sayyiduna Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he so beautifully once said, رَضِينَا قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا, he said, we are happy with Allah's distribution amongst us. He says, لَنَا عِلْمٌ, we have been granted knowledge. وَلِلْجُهَّالِ مَالٌ, and for the ignorant that is mal. And today we see all around us, we see in this world that we live in, we see disbelievers, we see people who are fasiqeen, who are transgressors, yet seemingly they are living their life. They have wealth, they have luxuries. But here Sayyiduna Ali said, وَلِلْجُهَّالِ مَالٌ, the ignorant have wealth, we have ilm. And then he goes on to say, or mention the excellence of ilm. He said, first, mal. إِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ, soon wealth will perish. Wealth will finish. And that's it. وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاقٍ لَا يَزَالٍ, and knowledge, as for knowledge, it's everlasting and it will remain. So this is what our pious predecessors, rahimahullah ta'ala, sought. This is the thing that they value. Today we value every other thing. Like I said, wealth, status, rank, these kind of things. And we see knowledge, sacred knowledge, as secondary. Why? Because if I seek sacred knowledge, who's going to give me £50,000 a year? Who's going to pay my bills? Who's going to give me a luxurious life? Who's going to give me money so that I can travel around the world? But remember, dear brothers in Islam, the deen requires sacrifice. Baqi bin Makhlad, rahmatullahi alayhi, he performed sacrifice. And today we are remembering him for this very reason. So seeking knowledge is very, very important. And you might think, how can I seek knowledge? You don't have to travel to Africa. You don't have to travel to Asia. Alhamdulillah, in this day and age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for us to seek knowledge. Today, this phone that we have in our hand is a means of seeking knowledge. The TV screen is a means of seeking knowledge. How so? Alhamdulillah, we have Madani channel, an electronic muballigh in our homes. A person while sitting at home can learn sacred knowledge. A person can download from DawatIslami.net many, many books, many, many applications whereby he can seek knowledge. Then Alhamdulillah, Amir Ahli Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah has created such a beautiful platform in Dawat Islami where people can come to their local Fizani Medina, can attend Tajweed classes, can attend Madrasatul Madina, can attend Jamiatul Madina. Jamiatul Madina, that department where Alhamdulillah today, thousands and thousands of ulama have been produced by the blessed gaze of Amir Ahli Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliyah. And those people they have traveled throughout the globe and they are imparting this knowledge that they have learned. So there was Islam today, we cannot make an excuse. If anybody could have made an excuse, it was those people who lived before us. Those people who found it difficult. Those people who didn't have the means. Today, what blessing don't we have? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us so many blessings. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you to try and list the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to. Yet we have every single excuse. Every excuse is already ready. When somebody invites us towards the masjid, oh brother, I've got this problem and I've got that problem. When somebody says, travel on a Madani Qafila, that's when we remember to do things that we had been putting off anyway. Oh, I need to do this. It must be done this weekend. I can't travel, sorry. So Dabul in Islam is very, very important that today we leave these excuses. There may be few people in the world. They may believe us. They may say that. But Allah knows the intentions of the heart. Allah knows what is the situation. If we can give 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, you know, all it takes is one phone call, one message from our friend to say, let's link up, let's go out. And we say, labbaik straight away. Then why can't we give a few hours to the deen? Why can't we bring our children to the masjid? Why can't we attend the ijtima'at of Dawat Islami? And remember today, living in a country like England, in European countries, there is a very dire lack of Islamic scholars. British speaking imams. And we know this. And yet we turn a blind eye. If we do not bring our children forward, if we do not educate our children to become leaders of our communities, then you can forget about having people in the community who will guide us about halal and haram. You can forget about having muftiyan-e-kiram, ulama-e-kiram, people of guidance, people of zikr, people of knowledge. You can forget about all that. And when that happens, as Rasulullah alayhi salam predicted, then ignorant people will come into high positions. And they will be leading people. They will give wrong fatawa. They will give wrong verdicts. People will listen to them and become astray. So it's very, very important that if Allah has given us the gift of children, then we should try and invest. And Amir Ali Sunnah Dawud Barakatum Aliyah says, one household should give at least one child in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One child in the way of Allah, make him an alim adeen. Make him a scholar of the religion. When you die, when you leave this world, when you depart in your grave, that child will be a means of your solace and comfort in the grave. So Dawud Islam, it's time that we make a sacrifice. It's time that we give towards our deen. Our deen has given us everything. We were given iman. We didn't even have to pray for it. We didn't have to ask for it. But today, we have to play our part as well. And like I said, Amir Ahl Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Aliyah, a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this time, has made it so easy for us. So easy for us. Jami'atul Madina, alhamdulillah, is established in this very Fazani Madina, Stetchford, in Birmingham. And alhamdulillah, the alim course is ongoing. It's my humble request that all those brothers who can, who have time, who can invest time, don't delay and join today. Enroll today, come to Jami'atul Madina. Not only Jami'atul Madina, attend Madrasatul Madina Balighan for adults. Learn to recite the Quran with Tajweed. Travel on the Madani Qafilas of Dawat Islami. Learn the Sunnahs of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today we can't travel for 3 days to a different city. Baqi bin Makhrad Rahmatullah Ali traveled thousands of miles. Left one continent for the other. So dear brothers in Islam, it's very, very important that we get our priorities right as an ummah, that we focus on reviving deen. And Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, there's no doubt in this, that in this day and age, he has performed Tajdeedul Ilm. He has revived knowledge. He has revived knowledge at a time when people were discarding it, neglecting it. Nobody wanted to study. And today there's a whole line. If you go to the Jamiat in Pakistan, in Hind, even other parts of the world, there's a line of people saying, yes, we are willing to give 6 years, 8 years, however many years, we want to become scholars of the deen. Why is this? Because of the mindset created by Amir Ahl Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Aliyah. He himself is someone who ardently follows the pious predecessors and he wants the ummah to do the same as well. So there was Islam. Remember, age is not a factor. Some people say this, oh, I'm too old now. I can't do anything. That's wrong. Why is it the case? And I've seen this, you may have seen it many, many times. When it comes to a topic of interest, even the 70-year-old man remembers things from his childhood. Even a 70-year-old man remembers the details about a particular event. You know, he's very meticulous in describing that event. Why? Allah has given him a memory. He's able to preserve things, retain things. But very quickly become disheartened when we try to learn knowledge. We say, oh, it's not possible. I'm past it now. No. Dawud Islam, from the cradle all the way to the grave, we have an opportunity Allah has given us. We should try and learn. Alhamdulillah, you may know, I've certainly seen brothers and elderly brothers Muslims who are in their 60s, 70s come and study in Madrasatul Madina Baligha. They come and give time in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an inspiration for all of us. And our youngsters, we should also utilize our youth as well. Because once youth is gone, the ulama state that learning something in youth is like etching something, inscribing something on stone. You'll always remember it. When are your faculties at their best, at their peak? When you are young. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us memory, has given us ability to understand. He's given us tafakkur fi deen. Why don't we use that? This is also a blessing. If we're not using it, then we are neglecting it. There are many, many people in the world who can boast and say, I have IQ level such and such. And I came top in such and such a quiz or competition. There is that person is not learning about his deen, it has gone to waste. On the day of judgment, it will not be looked at how many worldly achievements you gained. No. How much time did you give for deen? How much time did you give to learn the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran Sharif, the noble speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And just finally, just to let you know about how our elders valued knowledge. It wasn't just, you know, word of mouth. It wasn't just limited to their tongue. We love Islamic knowledge, no. Allama Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, a scholar who is a contemporary of Ghawse Pak, Sayyiduna Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala an. One of his wills, one of his final wills before he left this world, he said, you see these pencil shavings, when you sharpen your pencil and the shavings that come off, when I pass away, place these shavings into the water and then use that water to bathe my body. Because this is the shaving, or these are the pencil shavings of those pencils that I've used to write sacred knowledge. I have written book upon book and the ummah will benefit from them. But this is my wasiyah, this is my will, that you use those, dip them into the water and then bathe me. So this is how highly they value knowledge. It's mentioned about somebody else that he's on his deathbed, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And his student is sitting there, he's in his final moments. And he asks his student, can you quickly tell me the masala of kalala? And kalala is a very difficult masala mentioned in the Quran. And his student is surprised, is amazed. Sayyidi, even at this stage, your soul's about to come out of your body and you're asking about knowledge. He says, I don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state that I am unaware of this knowledge. I want to know this knowledge, I want to know this ruling, and then be presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sacred knowledge is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described best. Al-ilmu hayatul Islam. Knowledge is the life and soul of Islam. Without knowledge, Islam cannot survive. And qurbi qiyamah, when qiyamah comes, this will be the reason. Knowledge will be lifted. How will knowledge be lifted? The ulama will be removed. The books will still remain. The libraries will still have books in them. But the scholars will be lifted. The scholars will pass away. There will be no one to guide anyone. So as long as knowledge is revived, then Islam will remain dominant and strong, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. And there's a fazilat for those who memorize hadith. Last, and I'll finish on this as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever from my ummah memorizes 40 hadith, not 400, not 4,000, not 40,000, not 400,000, only 40 ahadith. And I just mentioned one, very small one. Very few words. Al-ilmu hayatul Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever learns 40 hadith, that on the day of judgment, he will be raised as a faqih, a jurist, a scholar. And I will be a witness and an intercessor for him as well. So dear brothers in Islam, come onto the path of knowledge. Bring your children into Dawat Islami, Jamiatul Madina, Madrasatul Madina. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you will see the blessings of this in this world, and more importantly, in the hereafter as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what has been said and enable all of us to remember and act upon it. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.